Welcome to this special SearchSecurity.com Messaging School podcast, sponsored by Message Labs. I'm Billy Hurley, and it's great to have you with us. In this podcast, we're going to separate the facts from the fiction, and we'll learn about valuable techniques that can find and eliminate email accounts that have been taken over by bots. Joining me today is Sandra K. Miller. Sandra is a technical editor for Information Security Magazine with more than 18 years of experience in developing and deploying leading-edge technologies throughout the petroleum, manufacturing, luxury resort, and software industries. She's also been an analyst covering enterprise-class products for 15 years. Thanks for being here with us, Sandra.
My pleasure.
Before we get started, I want to mention again that this podcast is part of our Messaging Security School, which you can visit at any time by navigating to searchsecurity.com/messaging. Sandra, let's set the stage before we begin taking on some botnet myths. How serious has the botnet problem become?
Very serious, Billy. Last year alone, the FBI reported botnets causing as much as $20 million in losses to consumers, businesses, and other organizations right here in the United States. Digital theft is a lot more appealing than the perpetration of physical crimes these days. For instance, online thieves can steal millions of dollars from a bank on the other side of the world instead of actually having to walk into the bank and rob it and possibly get shot at. Remote execution, automation, and speed combined with the high dollar return of this type of attack has made botnets a growing favorite for organized criminals throughout the world. Despite current laws such as the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act and the anti-fraud and anti-spam laws, the difficult part of fighting this type of digital crime has been catching the bad guys in the first place.
Okay, then let's play some fact or fiction. Here's how it works. I'll make a statement and then you tell me if it's fact or fiction and explain why. First up, fact or fiction. Botnets will cause infected computers to crash and not work.
Well, Billy, that's fiction. In order for criminals to take advantage of a compromised computer, it must still be able to function. However, users may notice that their machines are slower. They may receive strange error messages, or they may receive a lot of pop-ups occurring during a browser session. Another sure sign of a botnet infection, especially with your email system, are users being accused of sending massive amounts of email from either their own address or their IP address of their computer. Bots are long-lived software agents remotely installed on a vast number of end-user computers. And once a bot is installed, it receives command from the attacker, or the botmaster, as they're commonly referred to, through a remote command and control mechanism. Think of a bot as a parasite rather than your traditional worm or virus. Disabling or killing the host defeats the bot's purpose, whether that be sending spam through email, launching denial of service attacks through infected zombies, as they are referred to, or gleaning private information to be used for criminal activities such as identity theft or even corporate espionage.
Okay, next up, fact or fiction. Microsoft Windows is the most popular operating system targeted by botnets.
That's a fact. Microsoft is the most widely deployed operating system in the world. Therefore, it is the biggest target. More specifically, Windows XP with only Service Pack number 1 installed is generally the primary target. Older versions such as Windows 98, ME, NT, and 2000, they're still vulnerable and they're still around. Vista's enhanced security can help reduce bot installation opportunities, but it's not completely eliminating it. Also, Microsoft has really stepped up their efforts against botnet activities with overall improvement to their security, regular distribution of patches, and malicious code removal tools.
So Sandra, are Linux and Mac users inherently better protected from bots?
Yes and no. While the instances of bot infections on these platforms is rare, that's not to say it doesn't happen. Malware specifically designed for the Macintosh operating system has been identified by the major antivirus vendors, including Symantec and Trend Micro. iPods have even been reported as being shipped with malware pre-installed on the devices. So Macintosh is not immune to infections. Similarly, Linux is not immune from malware. However, the dynamic nature of open source code has offered the best defense against malicious infections such as botnets, which rely on operating system uniformity. Consider all of the multiple flavors and builds of the Linux operating system. For malware writers and bot herders, you're looking at a fast-moving target. There is also much more opportunity to harden a Linux system, that is, removing unused services that could provide launch points for botnets. As more defenses against traditional botnets evolve, the criminals are going to turn to new and less likely targets. For now, I think that Macintosh and Linux users have been lulled into a false sense of security. It's only a matter of time.
Fact or fiction, botnets themselves are actually made up of a combination of different threats and technologies.
This is a huge fact. Botnets have been called the Swiss Army knife of cyber criminals. Bots are comprised of a variety of malicious code types, including Trojan horses, rootkits, worms, proxies, backdoors, and keyloggers. They can perform assorted nefarious actions such as scanning for hidden vulnerabilities, installing backdoors, sniffing IRC, web traffic, FTP traffic, harvesting emails, stealing passwords, and launching denial-of-service attacks. There are as many as 5 different types of Trojan horses alone routinely used in botnets, and I'm just going to run down through them here so listeners can get an idea of what they're up against. Backdoors are these pernicious programs allowing the installation of remote administration utilities. This type of malware opens infected machines to external control through the Internet. They generally operate in the same way a legitimate remote administration used by system administrators. This makes them difficult to detect. Another growing type is a clicker. Clickers surreptitiously redirect zombie or infected machines to specific URLs or other Internet locations. They function either by sending the instructions to the computer's browser or by replacing the Internet URLs in stored file systems. Clickers are most often used to coordinate denial of service attacks on specific targets such as a server or a website. While a barrage of traffic may be detrimental to some targets, however, in other cases, it's a benefit, such as by drive-by ad-driven revenue. Theft occurs in this case by redirecting traffic to a certain advertising URL that pays per hit. Clickers are also used to direct users to fraudulent websites used in phishing scams. Another type of Trojan horse is a downloader, and they do just what they say. They download and execute malicious programs, often from remote FTP or websites. Notifiers, also used in botnets, are a malicious utility that notifies the botmaster about a particular event, such as a successful installation on a computer with a specific IP address or within a range. That way they can identify certain targets. Anything that would help a botmaster identify and take control over a system. Notifiers have the ability to communicate in a variety of ways. They can send emails, they can send instant messages, or they can even communicate through specific websites. Trojan horse proxies. Some Trojan horses are designed to function as illicit proxy servers, and these are the most offensive, especially in the formation of spam, because it allows the botmaster anonymous internet access. Proxies are the favorite tool for spammers, whose goal it is to infect and recruit as many computers as possible to distribute their mass mailings. Increasingly, botnets are also employing the use of rootkits, and rootkits are extremely difficult to detect because not all rootkit code is considered malicious. Basically, a rootkit is a collection of software tools providing administrator-level access to computer. However, when criminals employ rootkits in their botnet arsenal, either through exploiting a known vulnerability or by cracking a password, the attacker is able to mask their intrusion and gain root or administrative access to the computer and, worse, possibly other machines on the network.
All right, Sandra, we've reached the halfway point. Fact or fiction? Botnets are an international problem.
Fact. Bot herders, or ringleaders, bot masters, whatever you want to call them, they are the individual or the gang controlling the legions of zombie computers. They are found all over the world. Arrests have been made in places such as New Zealand, Russia, China, Thailand, Korea, Canada, and of course right here in the United States. It's estimated that half of all the botnet controllers today reside outside of the United States. Criminals can collaborate in real time from distributed locations in order to better avoid detection. Going back to 2005, Microsoft recognized this whenever they launched their first international botnet task force that included the United Nations, the European Union, and Interpol, in an effort to identify and track down bot masters and shut them down. However, prosecution of internet crimes continues to be muddled in international law. While prosecution here in the United States has been growing, criminals in many other parts of the world continue to freely operate their botnets.
Okay, Sandra, we're on the home stretch here. Fact or fiction? Bots cannot encrypt packets.
That's fiction. Increasingly, bots are using encryption technology in order to avoid detection and removal. By turning to secure shell or secure socket layer, bot creators are better masking their code from detection. The sad truth is that the encrypted bots are the most difficult to detect. Even the most seasoned malware researchers have been challenged by bots using custom encryption techniques. What's frightening is the people writing these types of infectious code are going after targets offering big payoffs. Another challenge with encrypted bot traffic is the use of the public networks, the internet. Public ISPs aren't privy to encrypted traffic, while they are able to identify obvious bot traffic, such as through IRC or spam. They don't have the authority to determine whether or not encrypted sessions are actually criminal in nature.
Sandy, real quick, you mentioned that there were some big payoffs. What did you mean by that as far as what the bots are going after? What kinds of data?
A lot of financial information. They're no longer going after consumer data, consumer information, simple credit card numbers. They're going after information that they can turn into big dollars.
All right, we've saved an important one for last here. Fact or fiction? Since enterprise network defenses are the best way to prevent bot attacks, there is little that individual enterprise users can do to protect themselves against botnets.
Big fiction. I can't repeat this enough. Defense in depth security. There is no silver bullet against botnets. But to avoid being ensnared, it takes a three-pronged approach. It takes education, policy, and technology. While there are many enterprise technologies such as firewalls, intrusion detection, intrusion prevention, gateway anti-malware products such as anti-spam, anti-spyware, and antivirus, along with advanced technologies such as flow analysis, which can help network and security managers protect their assets against botnets, individual users themselves can thwart attacks by using host-based anti-malware software, keeping it up to date, which is a very important point, along with host-based firewalls, such as the one freely included in either the Microsoft operating system or additional ones through companies like Zone Labs.
Okay, but what about best practices for good user behavior? How can we make sure that employees aren't falling for any surreptitious manipulation of messages?
Hands down, the best method is user education. It's your first and best line of defense. Explicitly explain to your users not to open any suspicious attachments, especially those that arrive from unknown senders. Education also includes having a good user policy in place and one that reflects good user practices, such as prohibited downloads and websites that frequently harbor bot-type malware. These include social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook, peer-to-peer applications for file swapping. These things shouldn't be happening on the enterprise network, period.
Okay, great. That's all the time we have today. Sandra K. Miller, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Billy.
For more materials in our Messaging Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/messaging. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And thanks to you for joining us. I'm Billy Hurley. Have a great day.